I wonder who likes sweets. Yes, any hands are up? Yep. Well, I like sweets too, unfortunately. And Auntie Fiona was trying to give me feed me sweets on Friday night and make me fatter. And boys and girls, I suppose this time of the year, there's a lot of sweets that goes about and we're presented with a lot of sweets. Well, I want to tell a story about some sweet today. Anybody tell me what that is? Candy cane is right. Or a candy stick. Candy cane. And boys and girls, there's a message about the candy cane, because this candy cane was introduced a way, way back, in fact, previous centuries. And the sweet maker who designed the candy cane did it in a particular fashion so that boys and girls would remember, that they would remind themselves about the wonderful gift that God has given to us. And so everything about the candy cane has that in mind. And boys and girls, before I bring to you some of those things, you'll notice, and if you've ever had one, it's hard. It's not soft, it's hard. It's like rock. And boys and girls, the psalmist reminds us that Christ is the rock of my salvation. The candy cane is hard. And the Lord taught his disciples one day as well in Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he's speaking about himself. He's the rock of ages. And so there's the first little thought, even before we get into the candy cane, that reminds us of God's gift. Now, the first thing I want to bring out to you is the colors. And what colors are they? I can't ask you again. Go ahead. Yeah. Good woman. Red and white. And as I said to you, the sweet maker made this particularly for these reasons. So the red reminds us of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary's cross. Now, this time of the year, boys and girls, we remember, of course, that the Lord came. He came from heaven's glory. He came down to this scene of time. He was born in an old manger. And we particularly remember his birth. But even, boys and girls, at his birth, there was the signs that he had come to die. Because we read the message in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it was told to the shepherds, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this great thing, or see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And they were told by the angels, back a couple of verses, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the swaddling clothes or swaddling bands were used ordinarily to wrap a corpse in. And here was this little child born in the manger and wrapped in those swaddling clothes. So even boys and girls at his birth were taught that he came to die. And he came to die a special death. He came to shed his own precious blood. Because on the cross, he would pay the punishment for our sin. And the scriptures taught, the law taught, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness. And so the Lord had to shed his own precious blood. But boys and girls, for that to happen, he had to be perfect. He had to be a perfect Savior. God would not accept an imperfect sacrifice. And even back in the Old Testament times, we remember that when the lamb was chosen for the Passover, the lamb had to be perfect. Hadn't it been torn? Hadn't it been old or sick? It had to be a perfect lamb. And that was a little pointer even to God's lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ had to be perfect, the only Savior. And boys and girls, the red reminds us of the precious blood, but the white reminds us of his perfection. and of his purity. He was virgin born. The passage just before Ella wrote, I read today, Matthew 1 reminds us of that. And Mary was a virgin. He was virgin born. He had no taint of man's sin upon him. But not only that, but he lived a perfect life. He never told lies. He never stole. He never was disobedient to his parents. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus was perfect. He lived a perfect life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 tells us, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was virgin born. He lived a perfect, spotless life. And you know, boys and girls, he desires that his people would also live holy lives. Be ye holy as I am holy. That is the message that he brings to us even this morning. So the colors are very significant. The red speaking about the precious blood. The white speaking about how he could be our Savior because he was perfect and he was pure. And in him there was no sin to be found. Now, there's the first thing. But the second thing is this. If I turn it up that way, what letter is it? J. Good. If I turn it up that way, it's the letter J. And Jesus starts with J. And boys and girls, the angel came to Joseph, and the name of the child wasn't to be Joseph or some other name, but the message was, Matthew 1, verse 21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And his name was to be called Jesus because Jesus means Savior. Savior. And here's the thing, adults. There's only one Savior. The boys and girls know this as well. There's no other Savior. There's only one Savior who can save us from our sins. And the apostles was to preach it in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. There's only one Savior. And his name is Jesus. And you see, boys and girls, that also tells us the purpose of why the Lord came to this earth and why he was born in that manger. Because he came, the Son of Man, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why we need a Savior. Because you and I are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You and I have been born after Adam's race, and our backs are toward God, our faces are toward a lost eternity, and we need one to save us. We need a Savior, a Deliverer. And his name is Jesus. And boys and girls, the name of Jesus is so special. It's so special, that's why you don't ever hear any child been named Jesus in the Western society today. It's a special name. But you know, the sad thing is this, that many young people, many children, many adults take the name of Jesus in vain. And you hear it on television. You hear it in the shops. You hear it down the street. They take the lovely name of Christ in vain. They break God's commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I trust, boys and girls, I trust adults, you don't take the name of Christ down under the gutter and use his name as a curse word. And you know, there's men and women do it and they don't really realize they're doing it. It just comes off their tongue. The name of Jesus is so special. He's my Savior. And he's the Savior of some of the boys and girls and some of the adults today. Can I ask you, what do you think of the name of Jesus? Wonder, is he your Savior today? Have you asked him into your heart to take away your sin? You see, the candy cane turned up this way reminds us of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, J for Jesus. There's another little thought. I turn it the other way around, and it looks more like a shepherd's crook now. The shepherd has a crook. And this is the special design with a candy cane, because the sweet maker wanted us to remember the shepherds. The shepherds heard that message. The angels came and they sang their praises. And they were to speak of this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And they came to the shepherds. And those shepherds were obedient. They went to see what they had been told, as I read earlier on. And they went to Bethlehem and they found even the babe in the manger. We were looking on Friday night with the young people. The wise men didn't go to the manger. It was the shepherds. And the shepherds, boys and girls, were to go forth. And they were to make known, to tell others what they had saw that day, the Savior that had come. But you know, the shepherd or the crook doesn't just remind us of the visitors, the first visitors to the Lord, but it reminds us of the Savior himself. Because John chapter 10, in the words of verse 11, he says himself, he calls himself the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. And the shepherd is one who goes and he searches and he finds the lost sheep. He doesn't let them go away, even though he might have a great flock. He cares for each and every one. And he goes until he finds them. And he carries them on his shoulder. And he brings them back to the fold. And he protects and he guards against the attacker. And boys and girls, the crook comes out. And the crook is used to lead the sheep into better pastures, or onto those springs of water. But the crook also is used to rescue from danger. Maybe the sheep are in danger, and he puts out the crook, and he grabs them, and he pulls them back. Boys and girls, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He not only saves us, but he guides us, and he keeps us in our way. And there's times he pulls us back, times he puts a halt, puts the brakes on. And as for our good, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. I wonder, is he your shepherd today? You know, the psalmist could say in that well-known psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. And every word is important, but the most important is the word my. The Lord is my shepherd. Wonder, can you say that today? Preacher, he's my shepherd. He's my Savior. The crook is seen in a little candy cane. And there's one final thought that I want to just leave with you this morning. And you might not be able to see this because it's so finite. And it is that there's stripes on the candy cane. Not the thick red line, but the lesser. And there's three of them. And boys and girls, that symbolizes the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are involved in your salvation and mine. And we worship a triune God today. Three in one, the Catechism reminds us of. But you know, those stripes also remind us of the sufferings that the Lord Jesus Christ was to endure. And yes, at this time of the year, we rightly remember his birth, why he came into that lowly stable. But he came for the purpose of redeeming us unto himself. And for that to be so, he had to give his life. He had to give his body on that cross of Calvary. And I read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were sheep as sheep going astray, but now are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. And there they took the Lord Jesus Christ and they nailed him to that cross. Before that, they took out that scourge and they put stripes on his back. His face was marred more than any man's. They took a mock crown and they pressed it right into his brow. That's even before they lifted him up on the tree. And boys and girls, the candy cane reminds us of the stripes that the Lord had to endure and that he received in order to bear away our sin. And the good news this morning is he paid it all. He finished the work. And Calvary never needs to be repeated again. It can never be added to. It can never be taken from. For the Lord cried, finished. And this morning, boys and girls, we have a risen Savior. And one who lives forevermore. And one who's able to save. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Adult, he'll not turn you away. He'll take you in. Boys and girls, he'll take you in. He'll save you. He can be your Savior. I trust the next time that you get a little candy cane, you remember the wee message. Everything about it is to cause us to remember the real message of this time of the year. It causes us to remember the greatest gift. The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. May the Lord bless his word even to our hearts this morning for his own name's sake.